Hi there. If you're watching us, just stand by. I'm on StreamYard and just waiting for the technology to catch up with our conversation. And boom, there we are. We are live, 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 live. Welcome to this sacred conversation. I am Abiola Abrams, and this is the Secrets of the Ancestors virtual retreat and festival, where we are celebrating the launch of my new deck, Secrets of the Ancestors Oracle, yay, by having conversations and these teaching conversations with the most incredible human beings that I know. And so today we are speaking with Radley Valentine. So wait, Radley, I've got to brag about you for a moment.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, tell me more. So Radley Valentine, if you have been under a rock, allow me to introduce Radley. Radley Valentine is a fashion icon.
Oh, God.
Tarot and Oracle Master, an angel interpreter, and just an all-around wonderful person who has one foot in the other world, one foot here with us, and we are all magnificently better for his presence. Hello, Radley. Welcome to the conversation.
I'm blushing. Hello, Abiola. How are you?
I am great. So what do you think of, you are a fashion icon.
Come on. Whatever. I'm a sequin icon.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd go with fashion icon, but I do like the shine. So I do like sequins and sparkly things and stuff. I'm not wearing them today, but I should have, I guess.
I'm a shine girl too. So I think that that's why we, you know, I think that's what we like about each other. Co-shiny people.
Co-shiny people, exactly.
So Radley, you have many, many decks, and we happen to be in the moment of your newest deck, which is the Animal Guides Tarot. Mm-hmm. But before we jump into this, I wanted to know, who was Radley before all of this? Tell me about little Radley. Hello, everyone who's here. Hello, Goddess Akisha, Goddess Marnie, Goddess Terry, I see a Goddess Doreen, a Goddess Janet, everyone who is here. So who was little Radley?
Oh, little Radley. There's multiple answers to that. So as a kid, I was pretty extroverted, very like out there for like the first 7 years. So as, you know, in my own element, because I was raised by women, period. That's period, raised by women. Mm-hmm. And so I was a little precocious. I remember one time my mom put me, do you know what romper room is? You're so young.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know what romper room is. She put me on romper room, and they, at a commercial break, they told my mom that if I didn't stay in my seat, they were kicking me off the show. That's like kind of who I was. But then, and I was psychic. I had my first psychic experience when I was 5. And again, lucky to have been raised by the women I was, who didn't flip out. They were like, okay, we're going to pay attention to this. Mm-hmm. But in the first grade, I wrote a love letter to Mark Hawkins saying, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, no. And
Mark was another little boy in your
class. Yes. He sat at the end of the row. Okay. and because everybody was writing these love letters, I love you, do you love me, yes, no, and you checked a box. And so I did it. And so Mark brought it back to me and said, you're supposed to write these to girls. And so I outed myself at the ripe old age of 7. And so things tanked.
What did you think when he said you're supposed to write this to girls? Was that confusing? Like, what are you talking about? But I like you.
Well, I mean, I had never thought about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 7. I hadn't thought about it. I just was like,
everybody
was like writing these letters, and I was like, oh, he's so cute. And so I wrote him a letter. I wrote him the thing, and, you know, and him writing it, bringing it back and saying you're supposed to write these to girls was fine. But then he told everybody. So, which is okay. Kids are kids, right? He was 7, right? So, I went underground. I went introverted until high school. I literally just hid for the rest of the time. And so when I got to high school, my school system was such that there weren't like things like the School for the Performing Arts or the School for this or that or the other in Knoxville, Tennessee, but there was a school that was known for performing arts, and I just happened to be in that school zone. And so I sang, and I was put into the glee
Yay.
Of the school as a freshman, which no one had ever done. And so I went from ostracized to popular, which I rebelled against. But that was the beginning of me to start to come out in all kinds of ways of my shell, to go back to the Radley that was five, that was like singing and dancing and being silly and so that part of me came back. So I was a smart kid. I was intuitive. I knew who was on the phone. Back when the phone was a cord that was 25 feet long, and, you know, I knew. Nothing about my life that ever went askew or seemed to go askew. Do I look at and go, I wish it hadn't happened, because it's who we are.
Yes.
It's what makes us who we are. And anything about myself that I love, I can look at and credit it to the parts of my life that I may have hated and I lived through.
Yes.
Right. That's transformation. That's the blessing of this kooky little incarnation that we picked or drew the short straw on. I don't know. I wonder all the time. It's like, why did we come here? So anyway, that's, you know, I am a lot me.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for sharing with us your trajectory of you going into your shell and then coming back, as you stepping back into your power. Right before we came on, I was telling Radley that his essence, his energy is the star. And he held up, you know, the sun, the star card from my deck, that is very much how I receive him, receive his energy. Now, you talked about at five having this intuitive psychic experience and, you know, being in a home where they were receptive.
Yeah.
So what was the journey from there to tarot?
So one of the things that your viewers may not know is that I wasn't always like a Hay House author. I was actually a certified public accountant.
And I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I am a recovering certified public accountant. So that is what I am. And I did that for the first 20 years of my adult life. And I'm grateful for it. I am really glad I did it.
Yes.
But I wasn't in like this world, but traditional church did not work for the gay kid in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh.
And so I started looking for alternate forms of spirituality. And back before you were way born or nothing, there was this thing called America Online with a modem that you would log on to. And there were these chat rooms, and there was one called Angel Speak, and I wanted to learn about angels, and because that's one of my big things is angels. And I started going into this group and getting taught. Well, the main teacher of that was this woman named Carla, and she was also into tarot. God. And at the time, angels and tarot would have been considered strange bedfellows.
Okay. So they were two totally separate.
Yeah, wow. Not in the same lane.
People were over here, and then the tarot people were over here.
Yeah, not the same lane at all. And so
you are still an accountant, a practicing
accountant. I am a practicing accountant, but I'm like, I became obsessed. It's like Carla. And this is one of those, my life is full of these like foreshadowing moments. That accounting job I had at the time was with a publishing company.
Of course
it was. and so here's Carla. She doesn't like traditional tarot. She made her own cards out of paper. You know, it's like she cut them out and made her own. So I'm like, here I am learning from this homemade tarot deck and going, oh my God, I love this. I love this. And so I just went headlong into it. And once I stopped doing accounting and decided, no, I want to do this, I got so deep into angels, but at the same time I was into tarot, and eventually I just sort of got discovered. I mean, there's no real other word. I just got discovered. Right. And Hay House let me make a deck that took the peanut butter that is tarot and the chocolate that is angels and made a deck.
Yeah.
And that was angel tarot cards. And that's how it all started.
I think that this is a really important conversation with you sharing your background previously, because a lot of the people in our audience is a circle of light workers, way showers, you know, who all feel that, you know, in one way or another that they have a calling, whether that calling is within their church or their town or their family on a bigger stage, you know, that there's something that they are called to a bigger purpose. And I love that you lived like we do. If you live long enough, you live several lives, right? So
I totally believe that. I think that way back when in the 1800s, people lived one life. You know, it's like they married whoever they could marry. They farmed, they raised 84 kids, and that's what they did. And now I think our souls are so evolved that we're like, if I'm coming to Earth, I am going to get stuff done. I am going to get lots of stuff done. So I'm going to do this life and that life and this other life.
Yes.
And yes. I see that in my life has been a play in three acts.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Love that. So Goddess Erica in the comments has a common question. So she wants to know, and you can please explain it to her, Radley. She wants to know, what's the difference between tarot and oracle cards?
Well, this little deck aside, because this little deck blended them beautifully. Most of the time, tarot is a fixed system. Tarot is 78 cards, 5 suits. You can depict it a million different ways. I've done 7 tarot decks. So you can use whatever themes. There's a gummy bear deck. There literally is.
I knew there's a Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I didn't know there was a gummy deck. That's great.
There is. There's everything. But what you can't do is you can't change what the magician means. The magician is the magician. You can change what he looks like. You can change the symbolism. You can change the theming. But the magician is the magician.
Right.
With oracle cards, it's a free-for-all. You can do anything you want. You can go, it's 4 cards, it's 27 cards, 82 cards, 44, 57, 6, whatever. Whatever theme you want, about anything you want it to be. And it's a pure free-form thing by the author, by the creator of it. Yes. But they work the same.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. But let me add a caveat to that. Here's a caveat that Colette and I like to add.
Okay.
There are some oracle decks that are not necessarily true divination systems.
That's true. That's true. You are quite right.
Just to add into the mix there.
You're right.
But technically, yes, they do absolutely work the same. And your language still very much is angels in different forms, you know, and tarot. Like, that's so beautifully, like, the language through which your soul receives these transmissions and shares this guidance with us.
Absolutely. I love angels. I talk to angels every single day. It's the first thing I do when I get up. It's the last thing I do when I go to bed. Hopefully I don't fall asleep while I'm talking to them, but sometimes I do. And, you know, every morning I do this thing called an angel walk, where I take people with me and talk to angels and pull them a card. But it's like, that's ingrained in me. I pull cards every single day, whether it's for people that are following me or for myself. I love this mix, because to me, it's like angels are safe and tarot is an ancient divinatory system. And we, to a certain extent, by other sources, have been taught to be afraid of our divine gifts.
Yes.
Because that was useful to other people, that we not be in tune with our divinatory gifts. So I think a lot of people who are drawn to tarot were drawn to it 400 years ago, but had weird experiences. So for me, it's like there are cards in tarot that people are afraid of. And it's like, when was the last time you saw a movie where the tarot card wasn't death? Right. Or the tower where people are being struck by lightning and people are falling to their death or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but that death card doesn't mean that. Right. And the tower card doesn't mean you're going to fall from the sky. I mean, it's like, so for me, it was about death is not death. It's release. It's not a physical death. It's an ending.
Yes.
It can be a great ending.
Yes.
The ending you have been begging for, right? Yes. It can be wonderful. Tower is a big life transformation.
Huge life transformation. And you can't have a new beginning without a death and ending.
My word, your lips, yes, exactly. Yes. That is exactly what I would have said. Yes. Is you transformation is empowering. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's, we're terrified of it.
Right.
And yet it's like, God, embrace it.
Yes.
You just don't know what wonderful person you're going to be on the other side. Go see. Go see.
Yes. I'm feeling called. That was so magnificent. I'm feeling called to pull a card from your deck and have you read it. And so let's do this as a reading for the audience before we go into the matched card. So, okay. Yay. Okay. This is very exciting. Okay. So what does our circle need to know most for, let's say, the spring equinox? We're moving into a new energy spring equinox. What are we needing to know right now? Okay. All right. We have a leaper.
Oh.
A leaper. Okay. All right. So we have the seven of earth.
Okay.
And the 10 of earth. I'm going to hold them up.
Okay.
So here is the seven of earth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then here is the 10 of earth. And again, if you're just joining us, this is from this new deck, Animal Guides Tarot by Radley Valentine.
Yep. So 10 of Earth is a card. I have a nickname for a lot of cards. And my nickname for 7 of Earth is the P card, aka patience. Oh. Not a lot of people are big into patience, but patience can be wonderful. Patience can be this opportunity for so many things. 7 of Earth represents an investment that you have made in energy, time, experience, emotion, whatever, that's going to pay off. But it's not going to pay off today, per se. Okay. And so it's like about waiting for the fruit to mature. It's waiting for the flower to bloom. It's ruled by cows because cows don't move very fast for the most part. They just kind of are like moving slowly, right? They're not like galloping around for the most part. And cows also represent abundance to be had later. And so that's why a cow is on this card. So it's a positive omen. It is the aspect that what you have been trying to create is going to occur. We just need to wait a little bit.
Okay. All right. And the reason why we got this as our clarification?
Yes. So that's 10 of Earth. So 10 of Earth is golden retrievers. 10 of Earth is this card that talks about abundance and prosperity from a financial security standpoint. It's taking care of the kids. It's making sure that the elderly parents are well. It's about tradition. It's about, it's kind of got your theme in it because it's about the family tree. It's about lineage. Mm-hmm. It's about being proud of our lineage and wanting to explore it. But it is about it's love of family, because there's 10 of water, which is love of family from the heart. 10 of earth is love of family from the standpoint of, I'm going to make sure that everybody's okay. Golden retrievers are loyal to a fault. They're sweet, they're kind, they're smart, but they are really loyal. They are going to look out for their own. And that's why golden retrievers are on there. So with these two cards, we know that things that we've made a good investment in the future, and it is going to financially abundantly pay off for us in the long run. We just got to kind of wait for it a little bit.
Okay. All right. I think that is a great reading. I saw a comment from someone. Someone said, oh gosh, my issue. I saw a comment from someone who said that they wanted to know is working with your animal spirits different than working with angels? Let me see if I can find the comment. That was their question for you. And is it at odds? They wanted to know.
I don't think they're at odds. I think that every element from which our divine gifts are available to us, it's like, think of it like a prism, okay? So divine light hits the prism and it spreads out in a million different colors of rays of light. Right. And so I think of those rays of lights of being different archangels, but I also think about those different rays of light of being, oh, here's the aspect of us that is connecting with our ancestors. Here's the aspect of us that is connecting with animals. Here's the aspect of us that is connecting in all of these different things. I think of animals as being angels in a lot of ways. I am a dog person of renown. I am a freakazoid for Shelties. And so to me, they are perfection. They are unconditional love. Yeah. And that through that, they rain down the love of the divine for us. They give us this amazing example. And animals do that in many different ways. So it's a different level of tuning in. Some people would say that energetically, the animal kingdom is down here because it's closer to Earth. Mm. And the angelic kingdom is up here. So it's tuning into a different level, but it's still getting, in the end, everything comes from the all that is anyway.
Yes, absolutely. It's all pure source energy. I love the idea of the refraction of the light showing up in different ways. Okay, so what I'm going to do now, Radley, this was fun for me anyway, because my deck has also spirit animals, animal spirits in it. I matched up the four animal spirit cards in my deck, which are called the creature in my deck, with the corresponding cards in your deck. So I'm going to hold them up and read. So this is the Knight of Fire, which is a dolphin in your deck, corresponds with the Creature of Fire in my deck, which is the lion spirit. And the message on my card is choose freedom. So
this I love that, because the Knight of Fire is sort of like the knight in shining armor. It's the one that comes to save us, right? And they're charismatic. They're really passionate about things. And dolphins are these animals that are known to be super intelligent, but are also, here I come to save the day. They're here to rescue. And so they will rescue other animals at the bottom of the ocean. They'll rescue human beings. They'll rescue each other. And so, and they're about community. So this whole energy to me of this whole fire thing of taking action and stuff makes sense.
Yes. And for people who are familiar with my last deck, The Creature of Fire, this is also the energy of Mbuya Nahanda, who is a lion spirit that is used as a community defender spirit energy. Okay, so next up we have for your Knight of Water, corresponds with my Creature of Water, with the element, with the message of creative expression.
So Knight of Water is a fun card. Knight of Water is very much associated with falling in love. It's an interesting proposition, because I chose frog for this. It's got a real tongue in cheek. There's Cinderella's glass slipper. There's the wand. And it's this whole thing of kissing a lot of frogs to find the right one that's your prince. And so Knight of Water is very fast moving energy emotionally. I like to say sometimes, without trying to be too derogatory to the Knight of Water, that they're in love with love. So if you're in a relationship with a Knight of Water, you're going to be experiencing a lot of wow. I mean, these Knights of Water will knock you off your feet. You will be like unable to breathe. They just might also, though, hop along to the next person. So you've got to be careful. It requires balance and focus and grounding to have that kind of an emotional experience.
Okay, so next up we have the Knight of Air, our fast-moving horse. And the correspondence in my deck is the Creature of Air representing speed.
Yeah, perfect. Because that Knight of Air is the fastest card in all of Tarot. Thoroughbred horses can run up to 55 miles an hour, something that I love about them, because fives in angel numerology represent change. And so when Knight of Air shows up 55 miles an hour, we're going to see change. 5 + 5 = 10, which reduces to 1. That brings new beginnings to us. Very fast energy.
Very fast. So I want to clarify someone saying they didn't know about my animal deck. So I don't have an animal deck. Radley has this Animal Guides Tarot, and the animal energy cards are from this deck, mine. Okay, so last but not least, we have the Knight of Earth, the Seahorse, which corresponds in my deck with the Creature of Earth. If you can see there, the Dogon people, this is the a wolf energy of take charge.
So Knight of Earth is the only knight that isn't moving quickly. The other knights in traditional tarot are shown on horses galloping along. The traditional Knight of Earth, which would be Knight of Coins or Pentacles in traditional tarot, isn't moving. And so here we have a seahorse. And seahorses are one of the few animals where the males carry the babies. Right. Oh, and so, yes, they get pregnant. And so they have a tendency to attach themselves to like a seaweed or a reed to keep themselves from being swished along in the current. So that they can just sort of hang on. So it's the pregnancy of abundance and prosperity that is coming, but without movement in this moment.
Ah, well, this was beautiful, Radley. Thank you so much for this sacred conversation. So your 7 decks, this is one of them. Where can people find you and come play with you online?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me at radleyvalentine.com. We're currently doing our membership group, which you can find out about radleyvalentine.com/magic. It's all about transformation of life this year. 2023 was hugely transformative to me, and I am all about sharing that with everybody else. So check it out.
Yay. Well, thank you for coming to play. I will see you in a few days and I can do
it. You will. I will.
And thank you for joining us. We are celebrating the launch of my new deck, The Secrets of the Ancestors Oracle Deck. Yay. Please go get yours if it feels in alignment for you. And sign up to get all of these replays at secretsoftheancestors.com. Thank you, Radley. Bye, everyone. Yay! My day is made.